Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? Enjoy this micro episode with Prolific. Now, you heard earlier this week on the episode with Ishmael, us talking about what Prolific Brand Design does beyond brand, and that's email marketing, and they are exceptional at it. And Zach shares some actual tactics, so whether you use Prolific or not is irrelevant. In this episode, though, he shares some fantastic ideas on how you can do this yourself or with them, but what you should expect. What should open rates be? What should conversion rates be? What should the return on investment be? What's the cost of this stuff? And he gives you a sweet little offer midway towards the end to if you want to give it a shot yourself. But this is an easy, low-cost way to bring in leads every single month. Enjoy this episode with Prolific and Zach Garside. Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. Another exciting podcast coming at you. I've got a guest in studio today, somebody I've gotten pretty familiar with over the last few months. But before we jump into that, Chad, man, I'm so bummed I didn't make it out there for our meeting, bro. I didn't get to sit side by side. And we didn't get out on the water. Like, none of those things happened. Pretty disappointing.
Yeah. No, I think the only good thing was it rained. Just usually when you plan for rain, it doesn't rain. And then you're like, well, shit. But yeah, bummed that you couldn't make it out. That was kind of, we built it up on the last podcast. People would be like, oh my God, they saw each other. This is going to be great. No, we didn't.
I don't know that the people actually thought that. But
that's probably true.
But just so everybody knows, it didn't happen. My flight got canceled. Plus, it rained anyway, so you guys didn't go out, and we just had to do it virtually, which never is the same. But I did still get in there. So yesterday was actually turned out pretty nice in the great state of Indiana. It's a nice little day.
Yeah, it's a nice day.
Okay, so this particular episode, just for all the listeners, trust me, don't worry. I'm not going to let you down. I am going to start with some dad jokes. I don't know if these are better or worse than last week's. I actually think they're worse based on my standards, but I think Chad will appreciate them. But before I do that, I just want to say, I have our guest Zach Garside on here too, who I actually was watching, I guess maybe paying attention to the last few years. And he was a power selling pros for a while, and I'll let you share some of your story here in a minute, Zach. But, we brought him on board as the, he came on board. We brought in his email marketing business into Prolific, which some of you guys know that I became an owner in that, and then brought on Zach to be the president of it. And we're like down the path. So I mean, this episode isn't about that. The episode is about the why I wanted Zach to be a part of the business because of what he was doing, and what I was sleeping on was this email marketing stuff. And I mean, it's just like, you don't think about it. Some of the grassroots stuff, and Chad and I have talked about this before, but to actually see what he was doing for the contractors and how well he was doing it and what the returns were and the cost per leads were so low. It's like, shit, man, we've been sleeping on email marketing. Not everybody, but I was. So I want to just talk through, I want him to actually share some of the things that he's been doing and some of the early successes that we had, some of the people he's working with, like actual things that the listeners can be like, oh shit, okay, I can at least take that back and even try it myself if they wanted to. But before I do that, I don't want to let everybody down, more specifically Chad. So I'm going to jump into my dad joke. Zach, are you ready for these?
I'm ready. I have one too.
And listen, I always tell everybody, if you know the answer, do not be ashamed. It's actually, a little notch on the belt if you'd know the answer.
Okay.
So Chad, you ready?
Go for holding it, my your friend. Bated breath, yes.
Okay. So as we're going into, I think this episode, this episode airs, I think a few weeks after recording it. Not quite deer season, but we'll be shortly going into deer season there in the Midwest. So I thought, let's just throw in one little dad joke that involves some animals, that being a deer. Why did the deer go to the dentist. No deer went to the dentist, but they do. Why did the deer go to the dentist?
Oh, I think I have a guess.
Tail whitening.
Tail white. Ooh, that's a good one. But no.
It has it has buck teeth.
It has buck teeth.
Yes.
Hey. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, that was actually it was a good lead in, right? You got it. Nice job.
I can't believe I got that.
Nice job.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You really thought you were a real thinker. You're a real thinker. Chad, consolation prize, buddy. Nice job. Okay.
Yeah.
Staying along the the animal theme here, a cow has four, but a woman only has two. What am I? Cow has four, but a woman only has two. What am I?
I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah.
Legs. Legs, you perverts. Legs.
Yeah.
Jeez. I did think that at one point.
No, you didn't.
I find
you would have said it. You'd have been like legs because you could have like not passed on legs. So, nobody believe in your bullshit right now, okay? It was legs. You guys are perverts, and I am ashamed. Ashamed of you. So we'll go ahead and finish with the third one. Now, I don't know if you remember this. Zach, you probably definitely don't. But Chad probably will a little bit. He probably actually had one of these. But do you guys remember the Tickle Me Elmo dolls? You remember those Tickle Me Elmo dolls? They're like the late 90s.
Yeah.
When they originally came out. I never had one of those.
I did.
But you did? I did. That tracks. That tracks. Chad probably did too. I can see you and your brother playing with Tickle Me Elmo dolls right now. You and Tyler just, tickling each other's Elmos. Okay. What does every Tickle Me Elmo get before it leaves the factory? Zach's really thinking. So those listening, Zach is really thinking. Chad, no? Thinking back to your Tickle Me Elmo days. What does every Tickle Me Elmo get before it leaves the factory? Two testicles. Two testicles. Got it? No, Chad.
No, I mean, no, that's not funny at all.
A little bit. I'm you kind of like that one a little bit. It wasn't like hilarious, but it was like right there, right? Okay, thank you.
It was
you.
There. It was
okay, moving. Oh, wait. You said you had a dad joke to share.
I have one dad joke.
You have one dad joke.
Yeah.
So what I like about this is Zach did not know we do dad jokes on this, which let us know he does not listen to the podcast. But you said you had one on the fly, and so I want to hear it. So yeah. I will listen. I'm in. Let's go.
I'm afraid for the calendar. I'm scared for the calendar.
You're scared for the calendar.
Yeah, because its days are numbered.
Oh Lord! No. Hit the other one.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is all not right. good. Okay, well, moving on to our listeners. I apologize for Zach's lame dad joke, and we will maybe Chad can overcome it. He always comes up with one. I'm sure he's got some good ones in his back pocket.
Yep. I can see your eyes on another screen. You're looking. You're searching right now.
Yeah, you got to stay up on that microphone. Yep, if you want anybody exactly. to hear,
I gotta come closer. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You're pulling a Ken Goodrich on us. Ken always talks like this. Goes away from the microphone, then comes back, and then goes away from. Okay, so let's actually get into the topic of this podcast, like I was talking about, now that we just wasted 7 minutes of everybody's lives. And again, this is like a little, we're not quite into fall, but this is just a little preparation, for it. And you really even the tail end of summer here, because this is something that you could implement right away. And again, this is around like some grassroots stuff, like email marketing. Okay, again, if don't shut this podcast off. If you do, you're going to let yourself down, because this is some like simple, easy stuff that everybody can afford to do that you have access to, but you're just not using, or you're not doing it right, or you're sending out email marketing is going into the dreaded spam folder, which nobody sees, right? That's like jail. Nobody wants to be there. But it's got a lot of low-cost leads, and it's very tactical. So the one thing I appreciated about Zach was he had worked at Power Selling Pros for quite a bit, like what, 8 years or something?
Eight years.
And then it became CEO of it for a little bit of time, and then stepped out and did your own business, which your simplified email marketing company for like what, the last year or so or whatever it was. And and I had no idea you were doing that until I was trying to pay attention. I was like, what the hell is this guy doing now? And And then when he was talking to me about like getting open rates, I'm like, well, what are good open rates for emails? And then more importantly, like, what are the conversion rates? Like, tell me the numbers. Like, help me understand. And he was telling me, yeah, man, like my customers are getting 30, 40, 50% open rates on email marketing. I'm thinking, prove it. Show me. Right. Cause I was like a little skeptical. I'm like, that seems like, well, what the hell are you writing to get them to open it? You know what I mean? Like, as a subject line, if it says something that is like free XYZ, you know, free air conditioner or whatever it is, like, okay, well, they might open and look at it. I'm just saying, like, I want him to prove it to me. And then I just want to see, like, how are actually people responding to these things? Like, what are the conversion rates looks like? Because at the end of the day, these people are trying to get leads from their email marketing. Like, that's why you do it, right?
Yeah.
So the open rate means nothing if there's no conversions. Fair?
That's completely true. Yeah.
So I just want to build, I thought, well, now that we're a few months in and I've seen, you know, you bring on some more of our big players. Like, I know you're going to work with the old Chatty P, and we got, I think, Gainer. We're
working with Eco plumbers, electricians and HVAC technicians. I mean, I think we have 40 clients at this
Bruner point. You got Bruner down in Florida. I know we're going to meet with Goodrich and and those guys with the Kinerator. So like, we have a lot of things going here. So you've made me a believer. And so now I just want to take this and like share it. Yeah. Right. But maybe let's just go ahead and start with, just a 30,000 foot view of your background. Cause I pretty much shared it, you know, what you've done, but maybe just how you got into this. And then I'm going to go immediately into, I want these guys to leave this podcast knowing what they should be looking for or holding their, whoever's doing their email marketing accountable for, with open rates as well as conversion rates. Like, what's the gap that they should be looking for to compare? Is it going good or not going good? So I'll second that part of it, but go ahead and kick off the 30,000 foot view of Zach Garside.
Yeah, I appreciate it. First of all, you guys are awesome. This started in 2018, actually, when I was still at Power Selling Pros. I did an internship for digitalmarketer.com. And they have a sales team, they have a content team, they have people doing SEO, they have people doing customer success. There's this one guy there, his name is Ben Griffin, and he was the most interesting person at the company to me, because while everybody's frantically chasing leads and sales, Ben would sit down at his computer, write an email, hit send, and then money would appear. And I thought it was like witchcraft, you know. Like, he looks so relaxed over there, right? Doing his, and he might not, you know, feel the same way if he heard me telling the story, but I thought it was totally mystical to me. So I was like, how do you do this? And they built this huge email list. They got really good at copywriting and messaging, and they could just generate leads and sales essentially on command. They turned their email list into like their own personal ATM machine. So I went back, I started doing that for Power Selling Pros. That was a huge lead source for us during the pandemic when, you know, events and trade shows all went away for a while.
Yep.
And then when I left, I wasn't sure what to do next. Then Megan Likes, she said, hey, you should try some email campaigns for our company, Jeff Likes Clean Windows. And at the time they were trying to sell Christmas light installation. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's give it a go. So I generate this Christmas light campaign for them.
Wait, you were doing Christmas light campaigns?
That was the first campaign I ever did. It was Christmas lights.
Chad, you notice in the signs here, the universe is speaking to us.
Did you do Christmas lights?
Oh, he doesn't. Not yet, he doesn't.
That was the first campaign I ever did. And within like a couple of days of running that campaign, her CSR team was completely overwhelmed with leads. I mean, they were just completely swamped with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. It just kept climbing, the number of people who were applying to these emails wanting to get a quote for Christmas lights. I was like, oh, I didn't even expect it to work that well. Right. I was like, yeah, they have a good size email list, and let's give this a go. And it started working really, really well. She introduced me to another company, and we basically figured out how to take the email list, get the emails out of the spam folder, get a ton of eyeballs on them, and then get people to not only call or schedule, but to reply to the email. Which is kind of one of our like secret sauces, if you will. You know, everybody kind of puts email in the bottom of an email. They'll put a phone number or they'll put a schedule online link.
Some call to action.
Yeah. And those are good, but the call to action I have found actually works the best is reply to this email. And when people are checking their email, right, they might be at the grocery store, bored, procrastinating work, on the toilet, for heaven's sakes. Like, they're not always in a position to make a phone call.
Some do.
Some do.
But you always tell when the echo is there, that they're in the shitter.
But when I say reply with the word tune-up, if you want to claim one of these spots on our calendar for, you know, AC tune-ups, for example, next thing you know, CSR team is fielding 30, 40, 50, 100 replies from people who are like, oh yeah, give me a tune-up. Give me a tune-up. Let me get that estimate. Let me take you up on this offer. So one thing led to another after working with Megan's company. We started working with other window cleaners, HVAC companies, a lot of garage door businesses, surprisingly. And we figured out how to use email to sell services that people only buy once or twice a year.
That's great. And so you're like, hey, I got something here.
Yeah. Yeah. It became kind of a crazy, like, I didn't intend to do that as a business. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just exploring. But before you know it, I had, you know, I was basically freelancing for 15 clients. I think I accidentally started a business.
Yep. And oh, wife, three kids, one on the way.
Yeah. Zach, why don't you, can you go a little bit deeper into this? Cause if I'm sitting there, obviously I've talked to you. And so I kind of get what you're getting, what you're able to do. And this isn't just like, I mean, we've heard these things before. Yeah. I just run a Facebook ad and I just get all these leads. Like there's a little bit more to it. Like, so Maybe just give listeners, maybe just like some, and it can be high level, like the couple of things that like, here's what people typically do. Here's how we do it a little bit different. You mentioned the one about like, you know, how to make it easy for them to reply. Like, what are some of the other things that people should be thinking about that have dismissed email marketing? Like it doesn't work. I can't make it work. It's silly. But you're somehow making it work. So there's gotta be a reason why it's working and not working for others.
Well, the first thing that any business, especially home service business, has to look at is, are your emails even making it to the inbox? That's thing number one, two, and three for us.
Most people just assume it is, you think?
Well, people, when I talk to contractors, I'll say, hey, what are your open rates right now? How many people are seeing the email? And they'll generally say something like 10 to 20% is like the range I get most of the time. And they just assume, yeah, that's how it goes. But that never made sense to me because in my mind, I'm thinking, these are people who already know who you are, have some level of familiarity with you. How are only 15 to 20% of them opening your emails? So I started digging deeper. I brought this guy in named Andrew to help me test the domains of these clients. And we found, oh yeah, your emails are all landing in the spam folder. Like nobody's even seeing them. You're going to the spam folder or the promotions tab in Gmail. So the first thing we do with any of our clients is get out of the spam folder because it doesn't matter how good the messaging is or how good the offer is if no one sees it. And there's a lot of technical reasons for why the emails land in the spam folder. But it basically comes down to, do you have email set up properly? Most people will go create an account with MailChimp or Constant Contact or Service Titan Marketing Pro, and then they'll just start sending emails. But if you've ever noticed when you do that, the email will say it comes from, and I encourage anybody who's listening to this, like go send a marketing email, go check to see who the email comes from when you send it. It'll generally say something like chad@petermanbrothers.servicetitanmail.io or .mailchimp.io. And that is problem number one, because now you're sending emails from MailChimp or Service Titans. It's called their IP, which is a fancy term for, it's basically like their satellites. And if you're doing that, guess how many other businesses are also doing that? A lot.
We're programmed to see that part and you think, oh, this is a marketing. This is a spam.
We're programmed to see that and not recognize the name because Peterman Brother customers, Rhino customers they don't want to get an email on behalf of Rhino from MailChimp, for example. And on top of that, other companies that are doing the same thing, if they're not good at email, you now suffer because of their performance. Other companies that are sending from the same MailChimp IP, if they're using bad practices, if they're sending spammy messages, you're suffering now because of it. It would almost be like on SEO, if you had to borrow the reputation of other HVAC companies in your area who are doing poor SEO. But with email, it's very common that that's the case. So we basically make it so companies are sending from their own actual domain, they're landing in the inbox, and then we turn our attention to audience segmentation. Because if you just send a blanket email to 100,000 subscribers in your database, you shouldn't be surprised when you're getting a 10, 15% open rate. But when you get really narrow and specific with it, like let's send an email to people who got an estimate from us between 6 and 12 months ago, and it's still open. then you can definitely expect a 40 to 60% open rate and a high response rate because it's highly targeted. The list is smaller. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yep. Because if you go from sending zero emails to 50,000, Gmail and Yahoo see you and they think, this person's fishy. I don't like this. Where did this guy, came out of nowhere and started sending 50,000 emails, and then you're right back in spam jail.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And so like the emails that come from Chad are not coming from Chad at, you know, peterandbrothers.whatever, like service title, whatever. It's actually showing what?
It's going to show your domain. So it'll show, I don't know what the exact domain, peterandbrothers.com, for example. But it's actually going to say it comes from that domain. And most businesses, when they send marketing emails, it is not coming from their actual domain.
Wait, so are emails coming from Rhino, coming from my domain, coming from my email?
You guys are. You guys have a huge team at this point. You have tons of specialists.
But is it coming from me or is it coming from somebody else on my team? I have no idea.
You'd have to ask your team. I don't know.
Okay, well, whatever. So anyways, it's coming from somebody on my team.
I've seen your domain's good though, but yeah.
Okay.
People, those are like little things, you know, people overlook. They just send something out. And then if I look at my Gmail app, for example, you know, when I look at my emails, you see all the little profile pictures next to each email, right?
Yep.
People don't even think about that part. Like, what's showing up there when you send an email? Is it just some blank?
Like all these little things that we ignore, we just think, oh, you create an email and you mass send it out and just cross our fingers.
Yeah. It looks like an ad. It screams, I'm advertising, basically, every time someone sends it. But I want them to look like they come from a friend. Like, that's our whole, that's basically what the philosophy comes down to is how do I make marketing emails from my local HVAC company feel like they're coming from a friend.
Yeah. So I think the one thing that about this, and whenever I saw, I was sleeping on email marketing. I see how well it's been doing. I see how well it's been doing for our customers and for ourselves. But now I get it because I'm like, oh, it does make sense. So, you know, Chad offers, you know, installation, repair, drain cleaning, electric, like he offers so many different services. So what you're saying is, well, you may have this massive database, but I'm going to narrow it down to just the installs, just the repairs, just the drain cleaning, just the.
Yeah.
And then you're hyper-focused on one thing. And then you continue to modify that thing. Like as you're going, like A/B testing different things, and just like you continuously are modifying it to increase open rates or conversion rates. Like what do you,
the thing that I love about email is when you run ads, every additional ad costs more money, but with email and SMS for that matter, you pay one bill every month for whatever platform you're sending
from. That's what I love about it.
And then you can send as many as you want.
Yeah, super affordable, cost per lead lower. Like it's,
and you've already got the leads. Yeah. Like it's just about setting that relationship. I always tell people if I had my own home service business, if I was doing, you know, window cleaning, every single visit I would ask, hey, every week I send out a message with really cool offers and the craziest thing I saw in a customer's home that week. Are you cool if I send those messages to you? And before you know it, you've got 10,000 people, 20,000 people who you have a relationship with, you have their permission to send them something, and you have the ability to be you yourself when you're sending these messages. It's not coming from some corporate, you know, mask. It's coming from you, the founder, a person who's sending emails, telling them stories, and then extending really great offers. And open rates aren't, you got to have the conversion rate, but also there's something to be said about the fact that if you have 50,000 people on your list and 25,000 open an email from you every week, that's pretty great brand awareness too. Like even if you're not getting one week, you get a huge response, a ton of leads, the next you don't. It's like, well, I still think the brand awareness is really powerful too. Again, because of the low cost of the channel, that person might not be ready to book now, but when they are, I bet you're the only one they think of because you've been showing up consistently with value in their inbox.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Chad.
I was just going to say, I think the brand awareness piece is such a critical element, and it speaks to what Chris talks about a lot is, you know, building that story around your brand. Like, are you just ABC heating, or is there a story around who you are, why you do it, you know, how important your customers are? And to me, just like you said, you know, yeah, they may see your TV commercial and your radio ad, but the minute that they get an email that's not just like, hey, buy this now, it's, yeah, telling a story, or hey, we were at this charity event, or, you know, hey, here's our technician of the week. And people are like, oh, shoot, I had Bill out to my house. That's awesome. Just all of those things that, like, you know, I think your point about the open rate is just as important as the conversion rate, because people are seeing you. Yeah, they may not need you right then and there, but they will someday. And as long as you can stay in front of them, and it's a lower cost, then, you know, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah. That top of mind awareness is a big deal. And I've always thought that that was even like back to the app conversation back in the day, Chad, was just so I built those apps so that way the contractors could send push notifications once a month and just said, oh, don't forget to change your filter. Like, even if they need to change it or not, the point was they got to clear that thing. So you knew they were going to see it. It's just top of mind awareness. And you're working in like, I know you work with a lot of our customers in their Service Titan account, like for them. So you're working in the Marketing Pro side for them, but you also can work in these other platforms. What I wondered is, do you feel comfortable with the data that you have for seasonal? Like, so you have like so Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, or whatever, you know, winter, spring, summer, fall. Do you have like some set campaigns? You're like, yep, I know exactly, you know, in September, I'm going to launch this effort for in this region of the United States for this type of client. Like, we're roofing, right? So you're doing Redbird roofing stuff for us. Did you have like plan? I'm assuming you do. You have plans like, okay, yeah, I know exactly what I need to do if you're HVAC, if you're plumbing, if you're electrical or whatever.
Yeah. We have so many templates right now. I couldn't even begin to count how many hundreds of email templates I have for every situation. Andrew, who does a lot of the copywriting with me, basically what he and I will do is we send campaigns for our clients every single week. And so we sit down, number one, and we look at what's the offer. What's the thing that the contractor wants to sell right now? Number two, what segments are we going to send it to? And number three, what's going on in the area? So we'll literally look at the weather report in the area. We'll look at what's happening in the news. If there's some kind of forecast, one of the best performing subject lines for a heating and cooling company, for example, is this week's forecast as a subject line. That's it. All you gotta do is say, from name says Chad Peterman, subject line says this week's forecast. And you're going to get 50% opener on people who want to check the forecast. And the top of the email is literally a screenshot of the forecast from like Google Weather. And then the email is the call to action, right? And what you're going to sell.
Hey, good news in the Midwest, Chad, is you can say this week's forecast. And even if you're wrong, it don't matter because it always changes.
Right. Yeah.
This week's forecast is going to be hot and cold and rainy.
And we're pretty responsive on like emergency weather events too. You know, in the South, what was it, like January, February, the South had some, maybe in March, there was this big freeze that went through. It went through like Louisiana and Texas. And we were able to, you know, jump on that within about 24 hours, put together some campaigns for people to get their furnaces looked at because of this emergency freeze warning that had been sent out all over, and just be really timely on that. So.
And then you can book, so you can put like a booking link right into their, you know, dispatch or their.
Exactly.
Their book. Yeah. Okay, cool. So awesome. Yeah. So that's a good call to action. So then maybe just go ahead and give our listeners, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, I think, on open rates, but what's a good benchmark for them too? So if somebody's currently doing it and they want to go and take a look and say, okay, how am I comparing to what, you know, what it should be or could be. So maybe share open rates and conversion rate, like, just give me some like, you know, ballparks there on what you deem successful for prolific.
Regardless of list size. So I've been throwing out a lot of numbers, but whether you have 2,000, 20,000 or 200,000 people on your list, you should aim for a 30 to 50% open rate all the time. If it's below 30%, I don't panic, but I start to pay attention. Like, yeah, I don't want it to go below 25 to 20%. If it's below that, I think you're in the spam folder. So that's the open rate conversation. And then on conversion rates, as a general rule, I think you should hope/expect a 1% to 2% response rate on your email marketing on any given month. That obviously depends on your market, your email list, your brand. We've worked with brands, and we'll be the first one to tell our clients, like, your list is not responsive. You know, you have, and I can usually tell depending on where they got it. If somebody says to me, yeah, we bought a list from so-and-so, red flags go up in my mind. I'm like, this is going to be trickier, right? Because you don't have a relationship with these people. They have no clue who you are. You're showing up completely unannounced, uninvited to the party. So I always put a little asterisk next to those results, depending on where you got your list and how strong your relationship is. But we've got a client in New Jersey right now that we just started doing this for. And he has a great relationship with his list already. Like, he's just a very personable founder, and his company has an amazing reputation of service. So when we started doing email, their inbox was absolutely flooded with people replying, calling, scheduling appointments, wanting to get service because they were like, oh my gosh, Don, like, hey man, it's good to see. It's good to hear from you. So if you have that relationship and that strong brand before we come in, it really can, it can be pretty explosive when we do, especially your very first campaign. But regardless, 30 to 50% open rate, 1 to 2% response rate on any given month from your campaigns.
Okay.
Do you do anything with like the drip campaigns? Like, hey, we sent it out and then we're going to follow up and then follow up. And it, what's your kind of view on that?
Yeah. I like to figure out what are all the touch points in the customer journey. So we'll set up campaigns for everything from pre-visit, like setting expectations when you got a technician going out to do an estimate, post-visit follow-up, open estimate follow-up, 6 months later, like let's do a tune-up follow-up. Did they not sign up for a membership? Let's put them in a year-long drip campaign that tries to get them to sign up for the membership. So with every business, we're trying to identify what are the touch points in their customer journey? How can we leverage automation to just automatically send these follow-up messages? And then, yeah, we just set them up to run on autopilot.
Yeah, makes sense.
So then we do all this to get a nice return on investment, right? Mm-hmm. That's the game. What's the ROI of email?
I like to break the ROI into three different categories. First, obviously, is how much money you're getting back. And you look at the platform costs. Any platform you spend money on is gonna depend on how big your list is, but if your average ticket is $800, for example, and you're spending $200 a month on your email service provider, you only need one job, literally one job to pay your cost of email marketing. And if you have a list of 10,000 people, going off my 1% to 2% rule, what's 1% to 2% of 10,000? 100? 200, right? That's my, I'm a copywriter. I'm not a math guy. Okay. What's it? 100 times 800? 8,000? 80,000?
100 times 800?
100 jobs at $800 average ticket. Clearly, Chris and I don't manage the numbers of our businesses.
$80,000.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'll send you a calculator.
That's what I said. I said 8,000.
I'm holding my phone too in my hand, and I'm not even
8,000.
Said 80,000.
Yeah,
it sounded like you said 8.
Clean your fucking ears.
I mean, that'd be pretty. That's how I like to do the math on that.
Prove me wrong. You're going to listen real clear. Chad's never listened to an episode since after we record him. He's going to listen to this one, and then he's going to send it to me and try to call me out.
I mean, it sounds better now. But the first time you said it, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But I mumble too, so maybe don't worry.
I don't know. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. I encourage every client to do that math. When they ask me the ROI question, I'm like, well, let's do the math on your email list. How many people are on that list? What's your average ticket? What would be best case scenario for you? And then we try to optimize campaigns to figure out how we can achieve that number. The second type of ROI is the brand ROI, right? Being there constantly every single week in the inbox, providing value and entertainment. Like, I haven't talked a lot about what we do with the messaging, but there's entertainment value to our emails. Like, we're not just throwing ads out there. So there's the brand ROI, the actual investment ROI. And then the third ROI is the clarity of messaging. Because without question, especially today with AI, contractors, I feel like struggle to come up with a really, really compelling message on a consistent basis. And so you fall back on saying the same thing over and over again. But I think marketing is figuring out how to say the same thing without saying the same thing. And email allows you to do that, where you're coming up with now, if we have an email that hits, you can now repurpose that into ads, blog posts, social media posts, social media advertising. I mean, there's so many different things you can do, because email is by far the fastest feedback channel for your messaging and offers to figure out what works. If your list responds really well, then the market's probably going to respond really well. So you can repurpose that into ads. Whereas when you're doing ads, it takes a little bit longer to get some feedback on whether your offers work.
Yeah, but Zach, can I just use ChatGPT and do it myself and not pay you $1,500 a month to manage this thing for me?
I'd love to see ChatGPT send the emails for you. I think that would be fantastic if it could make your audience segments and send your email. I would be using it.
All right. I don't know if you showed Chad, because I know that you have, like, you have started to build your own little, you know, chat or your own AI tool that you continuously take these successful campaigns, you plug them in, so it keeps learning from itself to get better and better, to perform better and better and better. But yet you still have to take those and then, you know, manage them properly and, like, roll them out and test them. So it's so inexpensive. Like, for now, Prolific isn't, we don't charge enough for $1,500 a month for what you're putting into it. At some point in time, we're gonna have to increase the price for it. But for now, it's so cheap to do that. $1,500 to have somebody go and take care of all the stuff to get, you know, those kind of open rates and it turn into jobs is like a no brainer. That's why I really want to do this podcast, is because it's so inexpensive. It's so inexpensive to do, and you can run this sucker year round and it works. It works well. So, that's why I just want to know, like, at the end of the day, what sold me on everything was when you showed me the open rates, I was like, cool, I'm paying attention. 30, 40, 50%. Literally everybody that I texted, I mean, Chad included, whenever I found that out, I was like, dude, what are your open rates? And they're all like, oh, 10, 15, 20, 10. This guy's getting 30, 40. I'm like, yeah, dude, just have show you, like, pull in and show you. But there's a lot of work that you've done behind it and just continuously, like, throwing this thing into the platform. It's constantly learning. You're just ahead of the game on your integration of utilizing AI into making these things perform better.
Yeah.
And you keep adding into it.
Yeah. We add whenever something works, you know, we're training it. We're trying to figure out how to make our jobs as easy as possible so we can help as many contractors as possible.
And keep them out of the spam folder.
And keep them out of spam folder. Keep your land in the inbox.
Okay. So then are the majority of people, I know you work with the garage as well. I think I'm, allowed to say that or not. I think I am.
I have no idea if you're allowed to say that or not.
Well, if not, we'll just cut that part out. you can just bleep that part out. Are you working mostly in Service Titan accounts or House Call Pros or whatever? Are most of your clients working in, like, in their FSMs?
I think we're about half right now, half in Service Titan, half not in Service Titan. You know, the ones who are not using Service Titan are still might be using it as their CRM, but they're not using Marketing Pro. But Marketing Pro is getting some cool updates. They're making some cool stuff. It's going to make our job a lot easier soon. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this either, but we know how to use Marketing Pro 2.0 already. So
that's great.
Ahead of the curve on it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like it's a secret that we have a great integration with Rhino with Service Titan. So
yeah.
One thing that everybody always asks, and this comes along with anything that they're implementing in their business, is setup. How cumbersome, how difficult is setup so somebody's like, hey, cool, I'd like to bring this on board, but guess what? It's summer. I don't have time for you, Zach, but I would really love to do this or at least get it set up for August, September, whatever.
Yeah.
Because there are some hiccups and there are some, like, roadblocks in setup. So maybe let's talk through what they are, but the solution for them that can simplify this.
Yeah. The first part is definitely the part where you can find the most roadblocks, which is getting out of the spam folder, because we've got to prove to Gmail and Yahoo that you are actually the person that owns your website. When you say, hey, we're about to send emails from prolificbranddesign.com, for example, and Gmail and Yahoo are saying, prove you own that domain. How do we know you actually do? And most businesses in general never take that step. They never prove to the email platforms that you actually own your website. Because if you think about it, there's literally nothing stopping me today from going and creating a MailChimp account and saying, yeah, I'm Cristiano at rhinoss.com. There's nothing stopping me from doing that unless you have authenticated your domain with those platforms. So that's the first thing we do. It's definitely the most technical. All it is, though, is we set up an email platform that's reputable. I keep referencing MailChimp, Constant Contact, and Service Titan Marketing Pro because those are the three we use most often. Pick a platform, and then we install DNS records. I don't want anybody to get too caught up on, like, the technicalities of it. Basically, we go into the settings, we get this little line of code, and we put it on the place where your website's hosted. And that is what we do to prove that you own your domain.
All the contractor wants to know is, are you doing that for them? Because they don't know what
the hell DNS. We're doing it for them. As long as you connect us to the right person at your company that has access to your domain, we do it for them.
Got it.
And once that's set up, now we have a good platform. Now we've proven that you actually own your domain. The next thing is, let's warm up your inbox. Because again, if we go from sending zero emails to 10, 20, 50,000 at once, you're going to go back to the spam
folder. How long is that little cycle to warm up your inbox?
It depends on the list size, but at most 4 weeks, 5 weeks to warm up your list.
Okay. So you're just kind of like increasing.
Yeah,
like
you take the whole list. You break it up into small segments.
Chad, how big is your, how free? You have a massive membership list.
It's big.
Yeah.
Members alone, we have 29,000 or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but your list.
That's just members.
Your list is
yeah, customer list is probably, at this point in time, hundreds of thousands.
I've seen your list, and yours took 5 weeks.
Okay.
It was 5 weeks to do your list, which was bigger than the average contractors for sure. The average company, it's like 2 weeks, three weeks at most to warm it up. And then once that's done, you now have a great platform set up. You've proven that you own your domain. Your inbox has been warmed up to start sending emails. And now you can start sending. And you're going to be very confident that they land in the inbox. And it's just a matter of getting the messaging and the offer right.
Do you ever...
Got to get that hot inbox.
Your inbox has got to be roasting.
It's got to be hot.
The hot inbox.
I should be able to cook a steak on that inbox.
Yeah.
Jesus. That one got Chad.
That was his dead joke. That was his.
Jeez.
That was good.
There we go. Thanks, Chad. Really appreciate your participation.
Yeah. A little Thursday afternoon humor. Here we are.
Do you ever put in like video or graphics or anything like that into these emails?
A little bit, but not terribly often. And the reason why is because the more imagery you put in an email, the more spam filters it has to go through.
Oh.
If you do an HTML, this is why I never, ever, ever, ever use the pre-designed email templates in any platform. I never do it. Because first of all.
Ever?
Ever.
Okay. That's how you don't ever? Have a hot inbox, Chad.
That's right. Because.
That's right.
Well, the reason why is the people who designed the templates have never had to use email to make money before. If they work for the platform. So when I go into MailChimp and there's all these email templates to choose from, it's tempting to say, oh, so easy. I'm going to use this template, but it's got all these colors and graphics and designs. And the more colors, graphics, and designs you have in an email, the more ruthlessly Gmail will analyze and try to make sure you're not sending like pornography or something horrible in your emails. So I don't even touch it. I put a logo at the top and then it's all plain text after that.
So I'm like 99% sure that with the to the point emails that go out, all have graphics in it. Is that right, Ryan? Has our thumbnails in it?
Shit. A thumbnail's fine. A thumbnail's not like, you're just trying to limit it. You know, but I never do anything. If it has a big frame around it, for example, I'm like, it screams advertising from the second someone opens it. Jeez. You know, a friend doesn't send an email with a big picture, like, big frame around the edge and all these things.
Are you checking right now, Ryan? Hey, there we go. Yep, we're looking right now. A thumbnail is just basically
That's not so bad. That's not so bad.
Ryan's showing
you got a thumbnail.
Picture
you got
of it to Zach right now. Oh, we're getting Zach's approval or disapproval right now, live on the
air. You got to get rid of the social.
Looks like it's disapproval, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know. I don't like putting the social media.
Hey, why are you doing to the point email marketing? Like, get your shit together. By the way, Ryan Baker, happy belated birthday, buddy, yesterday. So happy birthday, Ryan.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Ryan, how old? 34. Got it. Okay. To be 34 again. Okay. Moving on.
But I want to, can I mention one thing I just saw on that too, though?
Okay. So you're going to talk shit about my email marketing campaign. It's okay.
Just email marketing campaigns.
You want to call
it
constructive criticism?
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, go ahead. Let it rip.
Because you have the bar of all the social icons, right? It's like follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera.
Yep.
I don't put those on emails.
Okay.
Because I've already got them right where I want them. I've got them in my email.
So you don't want them to click on something.
I don't want them going to someone else's platform. You know, I don't want them going to. The reason I use the other platforms is to get them into my ecosystem, into my world.
It actually makes total sense. To me, it just made me think about bounce rate on website. Like you get somebody into the website, you don't want them to click on something and exit, right? You want them to stay in there and then take action.
That's right.
Same concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes total sense.
So.
Okay. All right. So sweet. Let's make sure we get Zach connected and have him take over the To The Point email marketing campaign.
Yeah. I mean, Zach, is it fair to say that your email should almost look boring?
It should look like it comes from a friend. The analogy I always use is And I like to say that the from name is more important than the subject line. You know, you get your emails, you have who's it from, what's the subject. The from name is the most important part, because if there's trust there, if there's a relationship and good brand, they'll open it regardless of what the subject line says. If your mom sent you an email today and she forgot to put a subject, like it literally says no subject there, but it's your mom, are you opening that email? Probably. Yes. I think yes. I am. I think most people are probably going to open that email.
Yeah.
I'll open it.
I will open it too.
So the from name matters more than the subject name, subject line. And then when you open the email, if you were sending a personal, heartfelt message to somebody you care about, you would not be tinkering with HTML. You would not be formatting all these. You might put pictures in, like, look at this picture of the kids at the fair the other day, right? But you're telling stories, you're sharing advice, wisdom, making it personal. Same approach, same thing.
We talking like, I'm ADHD. Mm-hmm. I'm not reading two paragraphs. Okay. Like what's, but maybe most people aren't like me, right? So, but I do. I can't like. Anybody who texts me, like when you text me a book, I can't hardly get through it, but you're not alone. So when you're writing these emails, what's your like theory? Is this a certain word count? Is it like you break them up into, like, keep it short and sweet?
Short and sweet most of the time, unless it's like, sometimes you write something and you know, it's undeniable that this is like really funny or interesting. And for example, when people go on Facebook and there's drama happening, and you hit the comment section and there's like these the great wall of text, you know, all these comments, and people can't help but read it if there's like enough drama and entertainment value to it. We don't do that often, but there's a really simple framework I like. I learned it from a guy named Jay Akunzo. It's this happened, which made me realize, which means. That's the framework. So this happened. I went to the store yesterday and I was dropping beads of sweat on the floor because how hot it was in this place. It made me realize these folks probably haven't had their AC tuned up in a hot minute. How many homeowners in my area are feeling this way right now? Which means I've decided, as a way to give back to the community after my event of suffering at the local grocery store, we're running a $59 AC tune-up special. You know, call now, click to schedule online, or reply to this email to get service ASAP.
And it's personalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So there's like, this happened, which made me realize, which means, imagine if your technicians reported to you every day the craziest thing they saw in a customer's home or the most extreme situation, took a picture, and then that was your email. You just send that out to your customer list. Like, we were just doing a water heater flush, and look at the sediment in this. I mean, look at the inside of this water heater we saw the other day. You might not realize, but yours might look like this too. If you want to make that problem go away, click to schedule now. Like that's all you have to do. Once you know you're landing in the inbox, it's that simple.
We overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of waking up this morning and Anna, I heard Anna yelling from the bedroom, and I was clearing the kitchen, which if you've been in my house before, you know, it's a really far distance. So I meant she had to have yelled loud enough. I was like, oh God, something's wrong. Go back, go into the closet, and she says, splash, splash, splash. So she's stepping on the carpet, and it's splashing. So clearly we've had a leak. Right on the other side of her wall is a furnace. So I go outside, I open up the door, and there's water in the bottom of that thing about this much. So we had rain, a lot of rain 2 days ago. So somehow that thing leaked. Now we're trying to figure out, you know, a leak. But if I'd have had somebody top of mind,
there you go,
I'd have known who to go to. Yeah. Instead, we decided to find whoever can get here the fastest.
And that's a great story. Like if I was a contractor and I heard that story and I fixed it, I'd use that story.
There you go.
I'd be like, this is, I'd take a selfie with you in front of it, the job after we did it. I'd give it to my marketing manager and tell my marketing manager to write up a story and send it to the list. Easy.
Perfect. There you go, Chad. Just go take selfies with everybody. Go run an email marketing campaign. Free selfies with Chad.
That's right.
I think
that could actually be a pretty good campaign. Thank you.
Yeah, but Chad's definitely not doing
it. Somebody. Free selfies with somebody.
No, I did have a grown man take a selfie with me at the Pacer game. When they were in the playoffs. And I was like, I don't think this is really happening. Luckily, Emily wasn't around to see it. I only notified her of the situation after the fact.
the situation.
Yeah.
Well, listen, just, you know, be grateful, Chad. Okay.
I was, it was just a little weird. I know it's usually a kid. Okay. That sounds good. But a middle-aged man, kind of hot.
Was it shoulder to shoulder or arm around?
I can't remember. I've erased it from my memory.
Because he was uncomfortable from the start.
It was definitely arm around.
Take the picture. Okay, so to close this thing out, we're almost an hour into this thing already. What is it that I haven't asked? Like, I know that I had some different questions I was going to ask, but we kind of answered a variation of them through all of the different questions. Is there anything that I missed or Chad missed that we should, that these guys need to know that we haven't addressed yet?
The biggest thing that I leave contractors with when we talk about this subject is, look, if nothing else, I can't imagine why you would not want to have a way to send your customers an email or a text message anytime you want and know it's going to land in the inbox. Like, you might not be committed to sending emails every week or even every other week or building any kind of system around it, but at some point, business is going to slow down for you. It's inevitable. Everybody faces a slow time at some point. How great will it be for you when you know you can send an email to your list with full confidence it's going to land in the inbox and then get people to book jobs the very same day that that email goes out?
And the cost is still set in place.
And it's not going to cost you anything you're not already spending.
Right.
Like, even if you don't read your own email, it's like, come on. Like, it's such an easy, simple thing to make sure you're doing right. Especially in a world where everybody's like, what's the best marketing strategy to fill my board tomorrow? Where are you guys finding the cheapest cost per lead? And my answer is, how big is the list of customers you currently have in your database? Like, how many people do you have in your database? Can I open estimates, last date of service greater than a year? Like, let's start there. Just get somebody to send some really great offers to those people right now. And then we can do the other stuff.
I think that he's a really good point there. It's like, I can see people probably listening to this going, oh God, or probably not even listening to this point because, well, it's email marketing, like that. I don't read my emails, so surely no one else does. And it's like, you know, when we rolled out AI in our call center, we had people like, well, no one's going to want to talk to these people. No one's going to want to talk to a robot and all this stuff like that. And I'm like, I would, if it got me through faster. Yeah, there's probably people that don't. Well, we have live people that can talk as well. But I think you just got to be aware of what are all the channels that people do consume information. Yeah, maybe you're not one, or maybe you gave us the spam Gmail so because you knew that you were going to get emails from us. Okay, well, you're only looking for 50%. So just throw them in the bucket of 50 that's not going to read it. That's fine. But there are a big segment of people who probably read their email. And they do that, and texting and phone calls and all of these things. And I think just being well-rounded, where I feel like, you know, as we said, email has been one of those things where it's like, oh my God, my inbox, this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, there are still people who consume that information. So why wouldn't you want to touch those customers? Maybe they're not the biggest, like, pick up the phone people, but they'll easily hit schedule, on a reply email.
Email is the cockroach of marketing. It will not die.
I was like, this went from a negative to a positive. I was like, God,
it's not die.
We're going to need to rethink that.
People
tagline.
Have been saying. I have the last line. I just come in and dunk on my whole thing. I'm like, you know what? No. I'm saying because it won't die. For 20 years, people have been like, email's dead, email's dead, email's dead, email's dead. Man, if you saw the numbers that I see, you would know email is definitely not dead. Whenever you create an account on anything, what do you have to do? You have to enter your email address. You have to go verify the whole internet revolves around email addresses. It's how you get access to literally anything. You might not check it yourself, but I promise you the people in your market do. No question.
That's pretty good. The cockroach of marketing. That pause in between. That was killer, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
You've used that before.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I have used that before.
Yeah, that was good. Well, okay, so I think we leave those who have made it this far. Let's give them something. What can we give them to even make it like, yeah. Well, fuck it. Now I really can't like, no, I really got to give it a try because, you know, like what? I have no idea. Like, what can we give them?
I have two things. Are you ready for this? First and foremost.
Have we talked about this before?
I sent you a Slack message once.
Sounds great.
You didn't respond.
Okay, so. Right. We're just going to let it rip. Like, just whatever. Just
no, this is not
a trust you. Just roll it out to our listeners.
We have an email template. It's like the most frequently used template across all our clients, and it's free. You can literally get this little copy paste, send it to your list, watch what happens to your open rate and dispatch board. All you got to do is go to...
I was thinking more of like, what could we give them to come on board as a customer of Prolific and offer off of that?
That's good,
too. But do whatever you like. Go ahead.
We could do both.
You
can get a free template or you can count 50% off the onboarding fee.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we have a $1,500
onboarding fee. So maybe just share what the fees are then so that way they can have context.
Yeah, we have a $1,500 onboarding fee. That's what gets you, set up with inbox deliverability. Your domain is going to be sizzling like a grill
in
Chad's backyard.
The hot box.
Your inbox is going to be all warmed up. Your list is going to be receiving your emails in the inbox. We're going to get you to a place where you can send emails and confidently in the inbox. That's what the warm up setup process is for. It's $1,500 one-time fee. We can do that for half off for To The Point listeners. Sweet. And then it's $1,500 a month after that for us to manage all your email campaigns and audiences going forward.
Perfect. Yeah. Whether you get one lead or 1,000 leads, $1,500 a month.
That's right.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, if you want to, If you want a hot box, it can only cost $1,500 a month. I know we work with a couple of other private equity groups too, where we have multiple brands. So those, you know, then we can negotiate rates at that point as, you know, at scale or franchise or in the franchise locations. But individual contractors, that's your price point, like super cheap.
That's right.
And it's month to month.
Yeah.
Month to month. So you got no
love
excuse.
Love us or leave us.
We should figure out a guarantee to give people. I know everybody's afraid of guarantees, but like you should give guarantees. And if you don't do it, they get their money back.
I guarantee at least one great dad joke every month.
That's probably not going to work.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, I don't know, Chad, if you have anything else too. I feel like we covered about as much as you can cover in email marketing.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked with Zach for, I think I've talked for half an hour. I know he's talked with our team. I've got a whole other page of notes of things that I forgot to do or need to do or stuff like that. So I just urge listeners to, you know, go act on this. This is kind of, to me, it was like when you sent that text message, it was like, holy shit, this is something I think we forgot about. Like, let's get back doing this. So I think it's powerful. You know, we've talked so many times about, you know, leads getting more expensive and, you know, how do I get away from, you know, being, held captive by Google and all of this stuff. And to me, this is a great way to do it. We're always talking about how do you reactivate your current list? They already know, like, and trust you. And they probably have issues or probably have things that they've been putting up with, for, you know, weeks, months, cause they just haven't had time. And then you're giving them the opportunity to go ahead and get, you know, whatever it is that they have taken care of.
There we go, man. Well, listen, Zach, appreciate you flying down here to do this.
Absolutely.
Did you only fly down here to do this in person?
That's right.
And to meet with me?
Yeah.
Cool.
I just flew down here for this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, like Chad just said, I don't think I need to say it any differently. Like this to me is a very simple solution to drive business. Like the odds of you not making your money back are so slim.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, just, you know, stop. Don't try to do it yourself. You got other shit to do. Like just let somebody who actually knows what they're doing do it and manage the whole process for you. Like Zach and Prolific. So what's the best contact information for you, Zach, for our listeners? We'll put it in the show notes too, but what's the best contact info?
For me personally, go to, just send me an email. Zach at.
Jesus.
Good stuff.
Zach. Just send me an email.
Z-A-C at.
Just call me.
Prolificbranddesign.com.
Z-A-C. Zach, we'll put it in the show notes. Well, thanks, Zach, from prolificbranddesign.com and email marketing. All right. Listen, we gave a lot of information in there, just about seasonal messaging, about, you remember your target rates should be in that 30, 40 to 50% open rates and the 1-2% conversion rate. So 1-2% people actually taking action from these emails to provide business for you. So you got to do it. $1,500 a month, the shit's cheap. Yeah. Okay. This is one that you have to do. I mean, you don't have to do everything, Chad, but you got to do something.
You got to
do something just like email marketing. No 0 days. Welcome To The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.